Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
Okay, spring. We're right here.
Okay, so we're about to cross into Alabama. This week, we're on the road again as we travel through the South with producers Zakiya Gibbons and Jeannie Montalvo.
It's like we're looking for America, but less Simon and Garfunkel and more Lynyrd Skynyrd.
And more Ludacris.
That's Zakiya and Jeannie, and today is part two of our two-part series all about Latinos in the South.
We were interested in the topic because the South is home to many of the states with the highest Latino population growth. And it's also a region that has seen some of the toughest anti-immigration laws in recent years.
So if you haven't heard part one, you can find it at latinousa.org or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. But you don't have to go back to listen in order to follow along today. Now, last week, we started our road trip in Atlanta, Georgia, and we learned about how Latinos got to Georgia in the first place. And, spoiler alert, it has something to do with the 1996 Olympics and just who helped build the whole thing. In any case, when we left off, we were crossing the state line into Alabama.
Alabama state line!
Alabama ranks fourth in the nation in terms of Latino population growth. But in 2011, the state passed what news outlets and activists here called America's harshest anti-immigration bill. The law is House Bill No. 56, better known as HB 56, and it allows police to ask for an individual's proof of their immigration status if the officer has any, quote, reasonable suspicion that the person may be undocumented. That part of the law is similar to some other controversial state laws that have been passed in recent years. But HB 56 went even further than most anti-immigration bills. The law originally required school officials to get students' legal statuses and asked for people to report undocumented students to state education officials. It also prohibited employers from knowingly hiring anyone who's undocumented and prohibited landlords from renting property to anyone who is in the United States without documentation.
Representative Mickey Hammond, one of the sponsors of the bill, said it, quote, attacks every aspect of an illegal alien's life, end quote. And by punishing people for renting to or hiring undocumented immigrants, it effectively criminalized interacting with them.
The idea behind the bill was to make life so difficult for undocumented immigrants in Alabama that they would self-deport. In other words, that they would make the choice on their own to leave Alabama and go somewhere else. And at the time, there were many stories suggesting that droves of Latinos did in fact pick up and get out of the state after the bill was passed, leaving crops rotting in the fields and trailer parks suddenly abandoned. But is this still actually true today?
Well, there's only one way to find out. We got in a rental car, picked up some chips and water bottles, and hit the gas.
What would a road trip be without potato chips and Chex Mix?
We entered Alabama to try and find out if Latinos really did leave after the law was passed. And if they did, we wanted to know if they came back.
All right, so we just turned onto this small, tiny roadway. It said US 4411, so. Anyways, we saw a sign that said that this is the original trail route for the Trail of Tears.
About an hour and a half from the Georgia border, we arrived in Birmingham, Alabama's biggest city. We got there on a humid morning, braving morning rush hour to arrive at an office complex near the side of an interstate.
What are we doing today?
Today, well, we're on our way to Birmingham now, the Civil Rights Institute and the Hispanic Interest Coalition of Alabama.
You decided to challenge, along with the Southern Poverty Law Center, you sued the state because of HB 56.
We did. We sued the state. That was crazy.
That's Isabel Rubio, the executive director of HICA, H-I-C-A, the Hispanic Interest Coalition of Alabama. It's a nonprofit based in Birmingham that helps Latinos improve their quality of life. They're kind of an organization that's like a jack of all trades. They help people set up their own small businesses, but they also help with citizenship and naturalization services. We went to Birmingham in part because HICA was there. And if anyone would have insight about the state of affairs for Latinos in Alabama post HB 56, it's Isabel, who calls herself a proud Latina Alabaman.
Look, Scott Beeson, who is one of the authors of this bill, calls me up one day and he says, hey, I got this friend and he's got a problem. And it turns out it's this Latino dude who's got an issue and he wants me to see if we can help him out. And of course, Scott says, well, you know, he's a great guy and I like him and I want to see what I can do to help him. And it's like, of course, he's a great dude, Scott. Of course, you want to help him because it's the right thing to do. But people get caught up in this narrative and they separate themselves from the person that they know, you know, that people just aren't really making that human connection about what it's about. We're going to sort of continue to perpetuate this fear about the other in this big sort of faceless way without recognizing that really we do know these faces and they're people that we know and that we love and that we care a lot about. But we're not going to take the time to try and figure out and untangle this really big mess that is our immigration system and approach it from a humanitarian way.
Isabel says that people are also still shocked to learn that there are Latinos in the South in the first place.
Being Latino in Alabama is a real challenge, but I think it's also a real opportunity. Our population continues to grow, and still people say to me, what? There are Latinos in Alabama? And, you know, it's the Southeast that has seen the largest growth in Latinos in the past more than 20 years. And so, si estamos aquí in Alabama, we're here. And, people need to know that.
Isabel wanted us to know that despite Alabama passing HB 56, this super harsh bill, she says that within the state of Alabama, Birmingham is known as a progressive bubble. And Isabel is afraid that HB 56 and Alabama's larger reputation for intolerance towards immigrants is actually affecting the way people see her city and her state.
That was one of the biggest travesties of HB 56, that people around the world could say, see, Birmingham in Alabama hasn't changed. But it's not true, which how funny is that? In the middle of HB 56, we're still getting state money. But most of it's local. And so our local community supports us and believes in us and says that you are needed and necessary. And so things are different, and Birmingham is a wonderful and progressive and welcoming place. And Birmingham is and always has been a city of immigrants since our founding.
I don't think people immediately think Birmingham, city of immigrants.
But did this city of immigrants lose its Latinos after HB 56?
You know, I don't know how many people left. I think a lot of people didn't go to work, but I don't know how many people left.
Okay, so Birmingham seems to be exodus-free, at least according to Isabel. But what about Albertville?
Hi, it's Thomas. I'm in a kind of quasi-derelict trailer park in Albertville, Alabama. Until a couple of years ago, this trailer park was populated exclusively by Latino immigrants. Then Alabama passed one of the most harsh pieces of anti-immigrant legislation in the country, and most of the immigrants left.
This is from an episode of Vice on HBO that first aired in April of 2015.
They said that cops were going to have the power to pull people over just because they were brown and stuff like that.
Albertville is a town of about 22,000 people. It's about an hour and a half drive from Birmingham, and it was heavily featured in media reports as an example of HB 56 doing exactly what it was meant to do, scare undocumented immigrants so much that they leave the state.
One New York Times article stated that just a few days after the bill had been signed that, quote, 123 students had withdrawn from the schools. Scores more were absent, and statewide, 1,988 Hispanic students were absent on Friday, about 5% of the entire Hispanic population of the school system. That same New York Times article described this self-deportation in Alabama as if we're listing horror movie titles, referring to it as The Vanishing and The Exodus, and describing scenes from a ghost town.
And we wanted to know, did Latinos really just pack up and leave? But since this is a road trip, we got in our car and drove straight to Albertville to see for ourselves.
That is our Alabama music.
bicycle mama for the day.
What does he say? Wait. But what does he say?
He says, in Alabama at noon, I married a blonde.
I married a blonde.
Yeah.
Albertville is the kind of place where you actually don't need Google Maps to get around. It's a quiet town with just a handful of streets and one-story buildings.
Before we arrived, we called up the mayor's office and told them about our quest. The office told us we had to talk to this one man, a man named Danny Maltby.
So this is the Albertville Museum, and we are being greeted by Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hey, how are you today?
Do you always greet your visitors, just like personally?
Yes, we try to.
So we're here because we're from a radio show distributed by NPR that's called Latino USA.
Sure.
And some people might say, like, well, if you're doing a show about Latinos, why are you in Albertville, Alabama?
That is not questionable. We know why you're in Albertville.
Apparently, this town is no stranger to press trying to find out how it was affected by HB 56. Danny is used to being the go-to guy for Albertville's history.
We can get y'all to sign our guest book. Right behind you.
That's because he's on the museum board, and he was born and raised in Albertville.
He towers over us in his hot pink t-shirt as he shows us around the museum and tells us about what the town was like before the media descended on it in 2011.
Actually, when I was a child, most everybody here was Anglo-American. You know, we did have somewhat of a small black community. Of course, everybody knew everybody. This was a small town. And I would say in probably the early 90s, we started seeing an influx of Hispanics. And the reasoning for that, I think, is the poultry plants just in Albertville.
And that's when everything changed in Albertville.
The poultry plants sparked a Latino boom in the small town, and it changed the demographics in Albertville forever. Between 2000 to 2010, when the poultry plants boomed in Alabama, the Latino population in Albertville increased by 112%. And during this time, there was a family not too far away from Albertville in another town called Pelham. This is the Rivera family. And they had a store that was a go-to spot for the community for food products. And all of that started one day when Mr. Rivera went searching in Alabama for Mexican cactus that you eat called nopales.
He went to the local Hispanic store or Mexican store, and he bought some nopales for $5 a pound, which is insane. He got so mad. The whole time he was cooking, he kept being like, oh my God, like this is a ripoff, like, you know, se están haciendo rico de la noche a la mañana, and just, you know, he was just so upset. And he goes, I'm gonna open my own store and offer good prices to people because I know they work hard for their money.
That's Dulce Rivera, the oldest daughter in the Rivera clan. Dulce's parents came to the U.S. from Mexico. Her father did, in fact, open a store. Little did he know that years later, it'd become the largest Latino grocery store in Alabama with two locations in the Birmingham area.
So we started off, what is it, like a 20,000 square footage store. We are now sitting at a 44,000 square foot store. So we have grown tremendously over the last 10 years.
Is the supermarket Mi Pueblo. It's got the biggest sign of the strip mall sign, and then you come in here and there's the flags of Latin America, but it's like big, Mi Pueblo supermarket.
We're talking a Walmart-sized Latino grocery store here.
One, two, three, four, five rows of piñatas that go the length of the store almost.
Having somewhere to go as a Latino here in Alabama is just amazing. I never really thought about it up until the whole HB 56 started.
And not only do the Riveras own the stores, they also own
this is 98.3 La Jefa. Coming
a radio station known as La Jefa.
Out of Pelham, Alabama.
After the controversial bill in 2011, the community really turned to the store and the radio for support.
The radio was a key staple.
La Jefa is the only Latino FM radio station on the dial in the Birmingham area. And the Riveras take that status seriously.
And when the whole HB 56 was going on, we used this store also, like, families were being separated. The parents were being deported. We had shuttles, and they would go pick you up from your home, bring you to the store to do your grocery shopping, and then send you right back.
So their store went above and beyond what a typical store would do. Because at the end of the day, Latinos weren't just their customers. This is their community. These people are their neighbors.
Families were separated. Like, I can't imagine being separated from my parents.
So it's not just business.
It's really not. It's all about family here.
So here, it sounds like some people did leave the town of Pelham. But did it happen in Albertville?
Here we are in Albertville, Alabama. And
the Latino population in Albertville started to grow in the 1990s. And that's because, as Danny with the pink T-shirt said earlier, it was all about the chicken plants. Some, like Tyson Foods and Wayne Farms, were the top employers in the area. But would HB 56 affect this?
We didn't see abandoned trailer parks or signs of a ghost town.
So, Jeannie, you're one of the producers on this southern adventure. And also, by the way, you were 6 months pregnant at the time when we were doing this. And you knew exactly where to go to find the local Latino community.
I did, Maria. If I know anything about being a Latina in the South, where there's a large population of Latinos, there's more than likely a church.
It's a Catholic church. And now I'm looking around here. We're pulling in. And it's like I feel like I'm in Guatemala.
I found a Catholic church called the Chapel of the Holy Cross, which was the largest Spanish congregation in Albertville.
The church has at least 1,300 families registered.
We meet Father Raul, who takes us on a tour of his church.
Huge red doors that we're walking through and now super huge wooden doors.
He introduces us to Maria de Jesus, who is an active member of the congregation. She worked for about 6 months at Tyson Foods when she first arrived to Albertville 21 years ago from Texas.
You know, there's been a lot of reporting that actually says that after the restrictive anti-immigration laws, that people left.
Sí, se fueron algunas familias, pero la mayoría se quedaron aquí.
She says some families did leave, but the majority stayed. The ones who left were criticized because people said Latinos don't run. We shouldn't run. We have to face what's ahead.
No debemos de correr, debemos afrontar. Aquí siento que es el ombligo más grande de gente latina.
Maria de Jesus calls this town the belly button of Alabama, the center of the Latino community, and it still is. But she mainly focuses on her church community, which continues to grow.
Aquí dentro de la iglesia cada vez está creciendo más, cada vez está creciendo más.
Pero no te podemos tener miedo, no podemos quedarnos encerrados en nuestras casas. Ustedes tienen que salir a trabajar.
Father Raul says that as talks of immigration enforcement flood the television screens, he tells his congregation that they shouldn't be afraid. He says, we can't stay locked in our houses. You have to go out and work. If you stay in your homes in fear, then what will you eat?
If something happens, you would be prepared to put your body, your life, to defend the people of your community?
Pero yo no puedo decir no a la gente que viene.
Father Raul says, I can't tell people not to come. The most important thing for me is to welcome folks. If someone from the government says, you are breaking the law for this, then I will go to jail. If the law will judge me for this, then I'll have to pay the consequences. Albertville has grown because of Latinos, he says, because they are hard workers. He says they come with that American dream. Despite the laws, despite the police, there is work, there is community, and there's family. This is a safe place for them.
And that's why Latinos have continued to come to Albertville. In the 2010 census, Latinos made up almost a quarter of the population of Albertville, 23%. And I wanted to know how some of the white residents in town, who were here before the Latinos came, felt about that statistic. So I asked Danny.
Doesn't bother me at all.
It does bother some people, though,
it
right?
It does bother some folks, yes.
we were curious to know.
What have you heard?
Well, yeah, you hear the same thing, and I think you'd probably hear it all across the United States that you know, you're not from here, you're not welcome here. But we're all not from here.
Danny, how do you help us to understand, those of us who are not from this area, how you have a city that feels like really welcoming, and people really feel tied to this community. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you've got the laws of Alabama that are pretty strict.
Absolutely.
In terms of any interaction with undocumented immigrants and what the police can do. How can you put those two things together for me?
Personally, I don't see that it affected anybody. You know, there may have been some families that left. I have grandchildren that are in school, and I question them about this. Some of the students that went to school with them didn't show up at school. And you think, well, did that family leave? But come to find out, after a little certain amount of time, they were there. They came back to school. They were scared to go to school.
That's because when HB 56 first came out, as we mentioned earlier, it targeted children in schools by requiring educators to ask for citizenship status. That was one of the parts that was later weakened by legal challenges, like the lawsuit by HECA that we also mentioned.
I'm not much of a politics guy, but I do see some politics in the fact that they passed these strict immigration laws to appease the people that voted for them. I live close to a poultry processing plant, and it's been there since the 40s. At times in the 90s, I would see immigration vehicles kind of staking out to that place. And then next thing you know, there would be a bus there loading people up. I can't say that I've seen that since the 90s. Now, that doesn't mean it hadn't happened, but I haven't seen it.
I want you to fast forward 100 years from now. What do you think Albertville is going to look like in 100 years?
I don't know that it will look so much different than it does now. The Hispanic population is probably going to grow. I think the people that are here will acclimate themselves.
Danny, for one, seems to have acclimated. But that's not necessarily true for everyone. And Danny says that all it really takes to make tension and mistrust disappear for a community is for families to get to know each other.
They have a farm day at school, and so my wife and me volunteered. And my job was to put the little kids up on a barrel with a saddle on it like they were riding a horse. And the Hispanic children will look up at you and smile. How can you not love them? How can you not love them? They're children. It's touching.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting emotional?
Yes, I am.
About brown-skinned Latino kids in Albertville?
Well, children in general. We have a program every year for all the fifth graders in Albertville. So, you know, I love them. I love them.
That's the thing about the idea of picking up and leaving. When you've been in a place for 10, 15, or 20 years, you have roots there. You have a radio station. You have stores. You have jobs. But most importantly, you have family.
Ay, tienen un recién nacido?
Ay, mira.
We heard that from Felipe, who we met outside the offices of the Hispanic Coalition of Alabama back in Birmingham. Felipe asked us not to use his full name because he's undocumented.
He has a newborn that is maybe 2 weeks old. He's in the office to get services for his family.
¿Usted tiene licencia? Do you have a driver's license?
No.
¿Y entonces cómo le hace? How do you manage that?
And in talking to him, we find out he doesn't have a driver's license. Because in Alabama, you cannot apply for a license as an undocumented person.
Le dan un ticket por andar manejando sin licencia. Pero no llamaron a la mira?
No.
Felipe tells us that he has had tickets for driving without a license, but that the police never called immigration. I was taken aback by this, because from the outside, what we've read about Alabama's immigration law makes it sound like this is a place where local police officers are stopping immigrants all the time and asking them for their status and then handing them over to immigration.
The impression outside of Alabama is that it's really hard to be Latino, Mexican, undocumented, you know, that the police are really on your backs or that ICE is on your backs. So is that not right?
No, no están equivocados, pero este, no es difícil, pero tampoco es fácil.
No, you're not wrong, he says. It's not difficult, but it's not easy either.
No es fácil. What's the part that's not easy?
Pues de que si te llegan a agarrar, también te llevan.
He says that if police stop you, they can take you. It's the risk we all run. We can only drive carefully, not speed. It's all we can do.
Six years after HB 56 was passed, the law is still in place. It's not as harsh as it once was, but it has made life for Latinos in Alabama pretty difficult. In the spring of this year, Alabama farmers were in fact nervous that there wouldn't be enough labor to pick the crops.
But the demographics are still showing that the area has a lot of Latinos. They make up about a quarter of the population. As for the people of Albertville, it seems like they are adjusting to the new ethnic makeup of the town. Albertville's mayor said that, quote, the community as a whole has grown and learned a lot. For the most part, they've embraced the reality of what it is, end quote.
At the end of the day, the stories about Albertville becoming a ghost town after HB 56, well, they were wrong. So wrong, in fact, that the town held a Lucha Libre event in April of about 200 people.
Last question. Can you point us in the direction of some really good ice cream in town?
Absolutely, I can.
You're looking for Carlisle Street.
And then I'm turning right.
Yes.
And then there's a little sign that says, Bienvenidos, La Michoacana Heladería. So he sent us to get Mexican ice cream in downtown Albertville.
And that's where it all clicked. Yes, people left, but they came back. And what's more, many people didn't even leave. They stayed and rode out the wave, kind of going a little bit underground. But today, Albertville is a place where you can eat Mexican ice cream and get a taco on Main Street. It's really a place that, for the growing Latino population, looks like home.